And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here, and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, FM the BEA, beautiful studios of Freedom of the Nest, Phoenix, Doc. All right, I'll do better next time. All right, here we have Stephen Bowler's in studio, Australian firearms laws and mythology surrounding them and how they came to pass, why they don't work. Worrying trends from anti-gun activists in U.S. and how to counter. I mean, how has it been countered there in Australia? I mean, it's all the same. In 1992, I think it was, Australia did the Firearm Act, kind of like our 1968 firearm after RFK got killed. Something happened, and they did something, and all of a sudden they took all the guns. Australia, they were just, rounding them up and burning them and doing that kind of Australia. Isn't that Quigley Down Under area? I mean, they had their own Wild West kind of thing. How did that happen? Is it just because they're part of the British Crown? Are they? Yeah, the Queen Privy Council. There's all your Commonwealth, though. You're still like part of the Empire. Well, they got an attitude of empires don't like you armed out in the middle of freaking Australia. Ain't they crocodiles? So I'm going, all right, gun control in Australia. We got Stephen's visiting here, trying to, make sure we all know what's up. Shooters, fishers, A-N-D, and farmers.org.au. Shooters, fishers, and farmers.org.au. All right, well, we got fishers and farmers added to the shooter party. What up with that? Why'd that happen?
Well, that came about basically because the same sort of people that come after shooters come after fishermen. They don't like you fishing and interacting with wildlife at all. And, generally inner city people that don't have any idea about how farming works and so forth, but want to tell you how to do it and know better than the farmers themselves how to do it, apparently.
This is one thing that I kind of started noticing with all the reason that you have shoot, even the NRA kind of do this hunter, shooter, farmer, rural, cowboy hat thing. And it seems to me that it's not so much against people with guns, it's the kind of people that have guns and that shoot and that farm. They're more self-sufficient, they're more independent. They're not dependent on the man for their sustenance and permission slip, but they go to the blue pages in the front of the phone book to find a department of I get to, So they're going after someone that just grows up inherently being more independent of society. Washington, who's that? What's that? They don't think that way. Well, Australia, it's so big, and the people per square mile is so small compared to a lot. I mean, even in America, it's kind of a lot of open, certainly in the West. But this philosophy, how is it able to succeed in Australia? This had to be an unknown sneaky force of something.
Oh, no, it was coming for a while. The problem we had, and the reason that the party came about, it came about before the massacre in Tasmania was even, ever came about.
Now, talk about that a little bit. That was a school thing back in...
It was a tourist attraction. There was 35 people killed in a mass shooting event. One guy had rifles. There wasn't any concealed carry.
Why was... Like what? That. Just because he's crazy?
Just, mental health, yeah. Yeah, and that's always the case. Mental health generally is at the root of most of these things.
Yeah, if somebody there had a gun, we wouldn't have had 35.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is, you of know. Course, the argument, but then, of course, they'll argue. Here, it's 15 gazillion stories like this. So you started before or after that event?
Before.
Why?
Well, because they were coming for the guns all then. Right. Now, that was the left side of politics. It was a conservative, you know, government, and it's confusing for Americans when I say it's a conservative government that's actually called the Liberal Party, put these laws in place 12 days after the massacre. So they just basically went over the aisle, got them from the left side of politics, and sort of pushed it through, both sides agreeing with themselves in furious agreement that...
Okay, two things I got to ask. The reason is just votes, more control, more power, the sentiment of the people. And if the sentiment of the people was that way, why? When did that happen?
Just because it was such a shocking event. And as I say, within 12 days, they pushed it through, pushing that ride of, you know, that tsunami of emotion, just pushing that through. I don't believe if it had have happened these days with social media and things like that, that they would have been able to push it through. But they controlled the media. Yep. They controlled the message.
Yep.
You know, we had protests. The shooters in Australia protested fiercely at the time. There were, you know, street protests of...
Oh, no, they already had the plan.
Yeah.
Oh, it was already predetermined, man.
Absolutely.
It was a done deal.
And, you know, they had the buyback, which, you know, the government never sold us the firearms in the first place, but they bought them back, allegedly. You know, what they ended up collecting was a lot of clunkers that they overpaid for, you know, single-shot rifles and, you know, Squibman 22s and things like that.
You know, and they do buybacks here in Phoenix. Mm. There's always, we'll set up a table nearby, you know, within shot, you know, on the sidewalk or on, you know, property somewhere, and say, you know, buy, you know, check here first, get the highest price. Somebody will come in with something. They don't know. They're going to give $100 or something, or a Walmart card or an Amazon card for $100 or whatever. They go in, you go, hey, man, I'll give you $300 for this right now. Boom. They start buying them legally. You know, here in America, it's legal. You know, say, you know, it's a hammer. You know, they buy, now this one, yeah, go get you $100. So we were screening them.
Yeah.
And then, oh, they don't like that none too much.
No, not at all. So the firearms that they ended up confiscating, and they were very cunning about it. You know, they worked out with the shooting organizations. They said, look, you know, we won't come after pistols, and we'll let the shotgun clubs still have their, you know, two-shot semi-autos for clay target shooting. So they sort of did these deals, which then, you know, a few years later they reneged on and came after the pistols.
So,
surprise, surprise. You know, it's always the death of a thousand cuts. The gun clubs themselves made money out of the government, you know, pushing through this National Firearms Agreement.
Oh, of course, they get a cut. Well, absolutely.
Compulsory membership, compulsory safety testing, compulsory
mandatory insurance,
mandatory range attendance, and so forth.
No.
So it's
concealed carry permit that has to be renewed every, you know, year or 2 years.
No,
you get it, kind of whatever.
No such thing. No, it's not.
Well, no, I mean, here we have a concealed carry. Yeah. So what they do is they go, oh, yeah, you get a concealed carry permit, but then you have to renew it. They change the fees, the training requirements. And we screamed about this now here in Arizona. We're just such buttheads that they, all right, fine, unrestricted concealed carry, and we don't want to hear about it anymore, and it's not a problem anymore.
Yeah.
Boom, done.
Well, you know, having come over here, it's interesting to see the difference in mindsets, because in Australia, you know, pepper spray is illegal, handcuffs illegal, bulletproof vests illegal, batons illegal, you can't carry a knife without a valid reason, you know, self-defense is not a genuine reason for firearms ownership. So
yeah,
you can
see,
still
that
have guns.
Right there is a mindset that they had to get, you know, the opinion is, oh, well, you don't need to defend yourself because the government loves me so much or something.
Yeah, it's the difference in the psyche between Americans and the fiercely fought independence and the Australian convict mindset.
Oh!
Absolutely.
Oh, we're going to get that deep. Okay. Well, this is one thing here in America, you know, like Dr. Ron Paul was going, man, if we don't do it now, we won't even remember what our heritage is or what these words even mean. You know, and now that damn internet got people a-talking. Damn it! Oh, and now they're flying into America to share their experiences. We'll be right back.
The fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, a little Australia, Dire Straits there.
Yeah, not quite. Australia's Dire Straits is English, but yeah, close.
Oh, Dire Straits is English? I thought, man, yeah, but when they started talking about Vegemite sandwiches, I'm like, what the heck are they talking?
That's a different band. Yeah.
No, that's it.
No, it's not Dire Straits, mate, but close.
I think so. All right. Let's ask the Australian expert. He probably knows better. Okay, this is what we're going to be talking about in this segment. Well, for the rest of the hour. Well, I tell you what's going to happen. See, Stephen was supposed to be in the first hour, and Kevin, you know, was nice enough to go to the first hour. It worked out well. So he left his passport in Tucson, so he had to go back and get, oops. So he goes, he gets that, comes back, gets up here. So we're going to do this hour, and then the next hour, we have Evan, the campaign manager for Nick Sarwark, running for City Phoenix mayor, and he's national chair of the Libertarian Party that lives here. So it's going to be interesting to see what I think guns might be an issue. You never know. We're going to bring that up, and certainly social media and all that. So Stephen's going to go ahead and hang out with us today. So Stephen's going to go ahead and hang out. We're going to, you know, chill and get Maine going long later in the show and kind of just relax, and Donna might feed us and stuff. So this would be awesome. We're going to have a nice day today. It's going to be a great show. It already is. Now, one thing, that these are the notes that I made. I wanted, one, in Australia, they have compulsory voting. If you don't vote, you get penalized, or they whack you, or you're not allowed to not, you know, vote by just not voting. I voted. Every time I put a sign up, I run for office, all kinds of stuff, but I don't vote because I know better, you know? But that don't mean I don't get to have a say, and I sure as hell vote my opinion, and I'm sure there's a couple people probably change their vote from what we do. Convict mindset. We want to talk about that. Here in America, I was asking about, well, do you have your kind of, you know, founding guys, you know, there's some, you know, an inspirational Second Amendment freedom against the crown kind of Gandhi, you know, thing, you know, I don't know. We're going to find out, you know, that Australia probably has some kind of icon that they look to and say, yeah, like that. Well, we're going to find out about that. Well, the convict mindset from Australia, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Robert Heinlein's Moon is a Harsh Mistress book, where they had the penal colony was the moon. Well, sooner or later, they go independent. Well, how independent is Australia? and this mindset? Is it, you know, they, them, those, the Aluma secret handshake club of we rule you empire? Did they already got their mind right and are using that to whatever they're doing? We're going to find out about that. Then they have their own political party that they started. They saw this coming back in the early 90s. They go, oh, hell no. We're going to be in opposition. Well, what is their tenet? What's their platform? What is it? You know, is it freedom on everything? Is it guns and weed? Guns and weed, guns and weed. When we would run campaigns in the mid-90s, the National Libertarian Party, oh, no, 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 no. Don't talk openly about guns or weed. So what do? We have guns and weed, freedom, 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 freedom. Yeah? Which state's more free? You see my point? It's a culture thing. You know, you go hide it. I don't give a crap about getting elected. I don't want to run it. I don't want to be run. You know, so it's a totally different mindset. Well, now we have social media. So we're going to talk about social media in Australia. Are they doing the same kind of thing?
Yeah.
The same people? And then, you know, yeah, and the guns, I mentioned that. So that, these are the things. Which one do you want to start off with?
Well, let's talk about social media.
Go.
Because social media is a worldwide phenomenon. And you see how the left side of politics is so desperate to grab control back of social media. Because they saw it as their thing. You know, and it's one of those elements that the right side is actually doing very, very well on. The libertarian and conservative side is doing quite well on now, because it's almost trendy now to be conservative and to be libertarian, as opposed to, you know, faux libertarianism on the left side, which is, you know, politically correct, and you know, it's sort of, yeah, you're free to have a sex change, and you're free to do this, that, and the other, and have an abortion, but you're not free to speak your mind. You know, that, you know, free speech is not free. You know, the you know, free speech is now bound by constraints of what you can call people and what pronouns you can use and that sort of thing. So it's an interesting battleground at
the
moment.
Okay, well, here in America, if you're if you have a pro-gun thought, or you talk, God forbid you came from Iraq and a veteran or something, they arrest you just for saying stuff. You're not allowed. So in Australia, how sensitive are they online? You say something about, and, you know, you got a 15-year-old kid standing there with his AR at the shooting range, and they freak and take him away from the parents. I mean, how bad is it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The police and the firearms registry monitor social media, Facebook, and things like that. They monitor the posts, and you know, if you are actively pro-gun and so forth, they will come after you. And that's happened to several friends of mine that have been severely penalized and you know, punished you know, quite harshly for their opinions on firearms and what have you.
How are they punished? Is there penalties? There's laws?
It's quite overt, the aggressive nature that the firearms registry comes after outspoken gun owners. There's no two ways about it.
But is there a law? Or are they just, like, you know, get audited or what?
It's generally bureaucrats. Yeah, they get audited. And as a gun owner in Australia, this will blow your mind. You have a license. You have your genuine reason, you know, one of which it cannot be self-defense. It can be sport hunting. It can be target shooting. But settle down. It gets worse. As a gun owner, as a firearms owner, you are then able to be on the spot audited by police at any stage. You're on the crim track system in the car, so when they pull you over for a speeding
event,
gun owner, look out. They can do an in-your-home audit at any time, warrantless search, checking on your guns,
gun owner,
see if they're stored in the safe correctly, ammunition stored separately.
Guns and children.
Yeah, you've got to... Yeah, it's a nanny state mentality, and yeah, the same's true for Australia. We have random breath testing, so they'll block off a street, pull everyone over, and breath test everyone, and do random drug testing at the same time for cannabis and methamphetamines and so forth. They'll do saliva swabs.
Police state.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we sort of as I say, that convict mindset is like, oh, well, the government knows best. And
okay, now, wait a minute. Let's talk about that. You know, this convict mindset. Is it like you get the feeling you're living in the man's prison and you got wardens and guards or something? Is it that kind of thing?
You look at England, whatever happens in England trickles down to Australia, and you look at, unfortunately, the basket case in terms of freedoms that is England at the moment. Yeah, and we can't have anything to defend yourself. Air pistols, air rifles are
guy busted in trying to kill you. You shoot him, you go to jail.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, funny you mentioned that.
It's here at all the time.
Use an unloaded firearm, and you get your firearms taken.
Yeah,
off
no,
you.
This is a campaign of the internet's got to have something to say and do, and the opinion of, and people pushing back, and you got a political party that you're doing something. We're gonna find out.
Excuse me, is this where I get a license to start a new business?
I wouldn't be hasty. You have to get a license to go out of business, too, you know.
Oh, well, look, I've invented this little anti-gravity machine, see?
Oh, is that why you're walking 2 inches above the floor?
Oh, yes, it's very comfortable. It saves on shoe leather.
Yeah, well, you have to fill out these forms and report to the Human Services Department of Manpower Orientation and register with the Fair Employment Practice Commission, the Wage and Hour Division of the Employment Standards Administration, the State Sales and Income Tax Division, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Social Security Administration of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. And, of course, OSHA.
OSHA? I thought that was a little town in Wisconsin.
You'll find out. Say, floating around like that could be dangerous. Have you checked with the Consumer Product Safety Commission?
Well, not yet.
Come to think of it, you actually are flying, aren't you? Look, you need to go over to the Federal Aviation Administration and the Transportation...
It's very hard to get anything done these days if you're in business, but free enterprise built this country. Think what could happen if we don't keep it free. A public service of this station and the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, Bellevue, Washington.
Besides, we just can't have people floating about unregulated, you know.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I tried. Woo! We're trying here on Declare. You're independent. Okay, this is the one thing I just wanted to tell it. We had Alessandro Fasillo, the attorney from Rome, you know, in the offices in Germany and Spain and Europe, trying to wealthy people keeping their money. He came here visiting, you know, this big gun culture thing. He's like, wow, man, you just felt safer. I mean, he felt safer. Some big bad guy coming and he felt safer. Well, what happened was, right when he goes back to Europe was when the terrorist attack in Paris happened. Well, what a lot of people didn't know, and we heard from a gun guy here and we confirmed with him, he goes, yeah, it's all over Spanish news and in Colombia, but nowhere else. Nobody, you know, there's a gun guy from Australia. You never heard this. Okay, here it is. According to French media, in the typical restaurant in the town, which at the time was crowded shortly after 21:30 hours, two armed assailants, they entered and began firing. But according to journalist Armand Stoke of the Europe Radio, one radio station, who was in the restaurant when the attack rose, three people at a table drew their weapons and brutally killed the two attackers. Immediately, several elements of the French police could arrest these heroes who managed a possible slaughter by killing two members of the terrorist group ISIS. French police reported these two unsung heroes from Colombia and were identified as cartel operators in northern Colombia. So it was three drug dealers having dinner. All of a sudden, these guys come in with their AKs and blare, and they go, hey, I know what that is. Boom, 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 problem solved. Hear about it a lot, did you? Hell no. Hell no. See, this is the point. You know, it's, you know, armed society is... You know, we have gun deaths and, you know, violent crimes and just plummeting here in the U.S. No matter how much, you know, media they give to all these shootings, it doesn't bear out by statistics. Now, you know, Stephen, you're in Australia and they're always touting how many gun shootings there are in America. And how much is that slandered or BS'd just a little bit?
It's painful, and we get it all the time. You know, well, we don't want to go down the American path. You know, the Australian Prime Minister at the time of the 1996, they called it the American disease. You know, that freedom is apparently a disease now. We're much better off going down the road of collective blame and blaming all gun owners for the actions of one lunatic. Yeah, which you wouldn't do about any other demographic in society. You wouldn't do that about, Buddhist extremists or Muslim extremists or Christian extremists. Well, you probably would do it about Christian extremists. They're sort of low-hanging fruit for the left. But, yeah, we have had incidents since. And it's interesting, they always say, oh, Australia's hasn't had a massacre since 1996. Well, you know, that's not technically true. But interestingly enough, New Zealand, just across the sea from us, still has their semi-autos and so forth. They didn't have a gun buyback or anything like that. They haven't had a massacre by that demographic or statistic either, metric either. So, you know, what's the difference? You know, I would consider Australian society more akin to New Zealand society. So, you know, one-off aberrations are no basis for extreme laws being placed on entire society. It really isn't. And they try and do that every time there's a mass killing over here. I see them, the gun grabbers come out in force saying, oh, look at Australia, look what they did. They haven't had a massacre since. Well, we've certainly had massacres. We've had massacres by fire. We've had massacres by knife. We've had massacres by car. You know,
there are more people killed being knifed in London than in New York, there are deaths. When that stat came out, I'm like, somebody noticed that, right?
Yeah, it's somehow you're more morally superior if you get shot. Apparently, your death weighs more on the left's conscience. I don't quite understand that.
No, I understand it perfectly. I'm telling you, I've been through this for a long time. We've had our safe Second Amendment for everyone. Are you a safe gun owner? Are you an unsafe legislator? I mean, you know, that kind of thing. We've been doing that since 93. Yeah. So, I see exactly what's really going on. Anything that gives you some kind of independence, anything that you demonstrate you don't need, why they need us, the government, doing that. Any farmer, hunter, rancher, you know, gun owners, these are the mentalities that they have to go after. And once you realize that, then you don't attack them that way anymore. You do bunch of information campaigns. So when you guys are doing, you're running your for office and you have these candidates, how many candidates, have you elected anybody to the parliament?
Yes, yeah, we've had people elected since 1994. So before the massacre, so our guy was the, I think two people voted against the gun buybacks in New South Wales in 1996, and it was our guys, and we've voted against everyone since, because you got to understand, it wasn't just one buyback. They've then, you know, there was an incident with pistols, so they then came after the pistols. There was an incident that had nothing to do with legal firearms ownership at all. It was the Lindt Cafe siege, where a terrorist out on bail for 63 counts of sexual assault and also conspiracy to commit murder, but he was out on bail, got himself a sawn-off shotgun, a legal firearm, never registered, it was completely a black market gun, went, held up this cafe, took 13 people hostages, ended up, you know, after 24 hours or thereabouts, shooting one of them, and the police came in and shot him and unfortunately shot another hostage. So there were three people that died at that scene.
How many were being held?
About 13 thereabouts.
So, and that had something to do with they used that, and it was all over the media.
They then went, oh, well, you know, these people, gun owners in Australia, legal gun owners, are trying to get this lever-action shotgun imported, because we're not allowed to have pump-action shotguns in A and B class. We're allowed to have pump-action rifles, pump-action rimfire and centerfire rifles, but we're not allowed to have pump-action shotguns.
God, you know, I want to stop you there, because I am just so past arguing over what kind of gun or action I get to have.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, I mean, you know, where's my belt-fed 50, and we can talk about that. Because it always goes to that. I give you an example. good friend of mine, he wrote an article, he's a criminal defense attorney here, and he wrote an article, legalize methamphetamine with an exclamation point. And it was just making, of course, he's a health nut and doesn't do drugs and didn't kind of whatever, but he's going, look, man, we're safer with, you know, not having the government drug war kind of as big a problem than the meth anyway, and blah, blah, blah. Well, then they go, oh, can't you just change that exclamation point to maybe a question mark or, you know, not be so adamant about it? And he goes, no, no, hell no. On the gun issue, same kind of thing. Now, he's a little bit softer on that a little bit, but my point is that I'm going, look, it's a principle. If I argue all these little, you know, what kind of gun or whether I got a bump stock or not, or this other stupid crap, it gets away from the issue of it's my freaking property. It's my life. It's my, you know, freedom. It's my ability to, you know, be independent. It's my as a principle. Mm. Who makes that argument? Where does that come from? Where's the education of, suck it, it's my life, and I'm not dependent on you to defend it from all the increasing hordes of crap I got to deal with because of you anyway?
Yeah, and that's unfortunately, you know, a symptom of the gun grabbers having a win in America. Is one of the few wins is when they got short-barreled shotguns and the first machine gun bills and all that sort of thing. The Founding Fathers, as from an outsider looking in, the Founding Fathers would have wanted you to have machines. If they would have wanted you, if you had the money, absolutely buy an Apache helicopter. You know, just,
right. You know. Where's my Hellfire missile?
Absolutely.
You know, this is, I'm that's where you get extreme, but I'm telling you, what was the point? Who should have this ability? The individual or the state? America was the state was to protect the rights of the individual. More with Stephen
from
Bowler,
the fourth letter out of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You know, I was showing them Stephen Bowler the DVD that we did for After Sandy Hook. And it's kind of a time. We do timeless stuff. You know, I don't want to have to redo this all the time. This is one of those, you know, just kind of foundational things. We got The Gang, which is about the BATF, you know, their gang with a badge, you know. And then we have the Second Amendment. It was kind of a fundamental, you get, you know, conservative patriot kind of thing. Then Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership did two movies. One's called No Guns for Jews, and the other one is No Guns for Negroes. The Guns for Jews thing was like, you know, yeah, we don't want them to have guns. Get on the cattle car, and what are you going to do to stop us? And we got some showers for you. Then No Guns for Negroes is when they had the freed slaves here in after the Civil War. Well, if they're men, they get to defend them. Oh, not without a freaking white man with a badge saying they can. So here comes gun control. Innocence Betrayed. You know, this was a really good, man, it was timely at the time and still holds up. It's about all of the deaths of the last century by their own government. Democide. They disarm you, then they kill you. 160 million. 160 million. This is by their own governments. Oh, you don't think so? You know, watch the movie, man. I mean, you know, you got Mao, you got Stalin, you got, Pol Pot. You got, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Disarm, boom, done. Well, in Australia, I want to understand the culture. you're saying the convict mentality, and I'm going, what does that even mean? How did that come down? You know, be a good little convict. You know, you grow up in preschool thinking that. I mean, how does that come about?
Okay, so we did have a gun culture and quite a strong firearms hunting outdoors type culture for the longest time, and it's sort of having a bit of a renaissance, a bit of a resurgence at the moment. In fact, there's now more firearms legally owned by Australian gun owners than there were before the buyback. We've imported more. Now, they're bolt actions and things like that, but we are... gun ownership is fun and it's empowering, you know, for women, for ethnic minorities. For
every time you
even
have women
for old
go,
white people like us.
No, you know, I've had you take women shooting, they shoot an AR and see they can project their will out, man. They want to have sex with somebody afterwards. They are, man, they just get all empowered and go, ooh, it's going. I was in high school, you know, you take girls golfing, you kind of walking around and kind of it's cool and you get bit, you know, nope, take them shooting.
Yep.
Take them shooting, man. You have a better date.
No, if we were going to ban something, we really should think about banning golf. You know, it is a good walk ruined. So, but yeah, no, it's a culture war with the media in Australia. The mainstream media is definitely anti-firearms and loves to push that Port Arthur narrative. And so whenever there is a massacre over in the States or in Europe or anywhere else, they'll say, oh, well, you know, at least in 1996, we took the guns off, you know, these madmen, and we don't have massacres over here. And then as soon as something happens that sort of rocks that narrative a bit, you know, there's a siege or a family shooting or whatever, they then say, oh, well, perhaps if we just make the laws just a little bit tougher, just tighten that noose just a little bit more,
yeah,
you know, strangle those gun owners just a little bit more, then, you know, take a few more things off them, then we'll be safe. Then we'll have got the balance right. And it's that mistake of thinking that you can ever negotiate with these people and compromise with these people. Because at the end of the day, we want to keep our firearms. At the end of the day, they want to take all firearms off here. And it's the same over here in the States. The position of the Democrats is to try and appear like they don't want to take all firearms off here. But they do. Like, at the end of the day, they do. And I at least admire the ones that are honest about it and say, yeah, we want to take all.
Yeah,
all.
You know, the who's police. They? Who wants to take my firearms? What was it, a philosophy, a secret club? What is it?
Yeah, it's nothing that organized, unfortunately. The left-wing media, it's definitely... you know, left-wing governments, and unfortunately in Australia we have right-wing governments as well. But again, our right-wing in Australia would be your probably far-left Democrats. Yeah,
that's why we, you know, I know how they divide and conquer however best they can divide. And my thing is that they're all the same. They're just they, them, those that won't leave me alone.
Mm.
You know, say you may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B. I mean, what's the freaking difference? It's statist. They're collectivist. They believe they know better than me, for me, for whatever, and I don't care why. So once I get down to the basic fundamental espousing that, which is what these films do, it's like, look, no, the reason is this, and here's a good example, and this is what happened, and why America, and blah, blah, blah. You watch these, you go, damn. That changed my mind, and it's going to be easy to change other people's mind, or at least they'll understand my mind. By doing that, that puts the seed of doubt in them, which is what they're always trying to do to the populace and you.
Exactly.
Yeah, but don't you love children?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I freaking teach them how to shoot.
Somebody's got to think of the children.
Yeah, don't point it at me.
That's, you know, I actively encourage people in Australia to take their neighbours and friends to the range. Doesn't matter if they end up getting their licence, a lot of them do, but at least they've seen it firsthand and gone, oh, well, hang on, these aren't redneck killers and these aren't, you know, Ivan Milats or you know, which was a serial killer in Australia. You know, these aren't potential mass murderers. These are doctors and lawyers and butchers.
When
and
you see American
candlestick makers,
you come around here and you see somebody carrying a firearm. You know, there's like, you know, plenty around here. So you go on, you're going, okay, cool, I'm, you know, well, in Australia, you see someone with a firearm, or is it, like, illegal? Is it, you know, boy, that never happens?
Oh,
but on the movies, man, I got, Aussies has got their flap holster everywhere they go in their hat.
Yeah, no, no, doesn't happen. You know, you're not allowed to carry. The public cannot see your firearms. You know, you are not allowed to have publics out in display in public. And even people that collect firearms aren't allowed to display them. You'll love this, though. Brace yourselves for a bit of more common sense gun laws. We have what's called an appearance law in Australia. So if your firearm substantially duplicates in appearance a prohibited weapon, an AR-15 or an AK-47, it's banned, it's prohibited. So some of those new tactical bolt action rifles, it's sort of, if you squint and go, oh, okay, it's black and it's got a magazine.
Yeah.
Nope, banned.
Okay, now that happened, that was the assault weapon ban that they did in California under Feinstein, Boxer, all these guys doing that in California. And what happened, it was a cosmetic ban. Hmm. If it had a pistol grip, if it was a detachable magazine, if it had a bayonet lug, I mean, it had like a scorecard. Well, the SKS, which is a, you know, a stripper clip fed, you know, Vietnamese, kind of, you know, semi-automatic, but it shot the same round, 7.62 by 39, as an AK-47. It's just different. It looked more like a rifle. But I have one. It's my favorite gun. I have AKs. I have ARs. But the SKS, man, I've had that almost, you know, like 25 years, and the thing works. It goes whir after you dip it in the mud of whatever and put a 20 mag in it. I got this, you know, belt that has all these stripper clips on. Get like 180 with, you know, rounds. That's my grab it. That's my bug out bag go kind of, man, makes it go work. ARs, they jam, screw that crap, okay? SKS. They go like this. They say, California says, you know, it's kind of on the fence. We don't like it because we don't like it. We got to make up a reason why we don't like it. And finally they come up and they say, you have to register them. Everybody's got right. NRA says, all right, go get your receipt. You know, you go register and do it. Boom. Then they came in and say, you know what? Thanks for registering. Now, you guys on this list, it's ours now.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to give you $300, though. You know?
Registration only ever leads to confiscation. It's the only reason they want registration.
Well, it's safe. We had to offer for California, and Sheriff Arpaio freaked out. Oh, and he's running for U.S. Senate now. You know, and he goes, Ernie, man, oh, what you got in your safe bunker? Second Amendment's for everyone. We got safe storage for you guys, California. Bring it over here. It's all good. He goes, how are you going to do it? What? Yo, I'm a sheriff in county. I go, don't worry about it, man. It's out of your jurisdiction. We're doing them on a storage facility on the Native American reservation. So you don't have jurisdiction. We do it in there, and don't worry about it. Now, we never did it, but it just pissed them off, you know, that we could do that. And I'm going, yeah, we just store it for them. Whenever you need, you're going to come get it. Done. Next. And they're like, ew! Because it's the mindset. The fact that you're doing it without your permission slip and we can't say you can't, God damn it. Yeah. I'm like, let's go, man. Let's rock. Well, that's what's happening with Australia. It's the mindset. How's it going? We'll go in a little bit more and then we'll talk after the next hour. We'll get more out of Stephen Bowler here doing this because I'm telling you, man, it's worldwide. Shooters, fishers, and farmers.org.au.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Friday, June 8th, 2018. Silver is trading at $16.79 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,299 per ounce. Zencash is trading at $22. And the average price of Bitcoin is $7,552. Antiwar.com reports Afghan President Ashraf Ghani has announced an unconditional ceasefire on Thursday, vowing no attacks will take place against the Taliban for the duration of Ramadan, ending on the Eid celebration on June 20th. This comes amid reports of secret peace talks ongoing in Afghanistan. While no one seems to agree how far these talks have progressed, the ceasefire is the first Ghani has confirmed since taking power in 2014. U.S. Commander General John Nicholson has confirmed that the U.S. will also comply with the ceasefire, with respect to the Taliban. They say that offensives against other militants will continue unchanged. NATO has also endorsed the plan, urging both sides to seek more peace talks. NATO's position makes it somewhat surprising that the U.S. is on board, as President Trump has been very publicly opposed to talks with the Taliban. That said, it would be difficult for the U.S. to totally spurn a ceasefire called by their allies. This means it remains an open question how closely the U.S. will comply with it and how many times they attack Taliban, claiming that they thought they were the Islamic State or some other faction. For over 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals. Gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. They don't feed the banks. They're Bitcoin preferred and have removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts Brokerage today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co. UPI reports a judge on Thursday sentenced a former Baltimore Police Department officer convicted of committing a host of crimes to 25 years in prison. U.S. District Court Judge Catherine C. Blake sentenced former Gun Trace Task Force Sergeant Wayne Jenkins to the 25-year sentence for his role as a leader of a police corruption ring, according to the Baltimore Sun. Jenkins pled guilty in January to a number of charges that included racketeering and robbery in an agreement that capped his possible prison time at 30 years. Jenkins inflicted immeasurable harm by stealing drugs on a near daily basis for years, helping commit robberies, and charging overtime pay for time he did not work, according to Assistant U.S. Attorney Leo Weiss. The 37-year-old former ringleader of a corrupt police unit sobbed during his testimony as he apologized to Baltimore residents. Jenkins said, "I know it's my fault. I know I have to be punished." He specifically apologized to the family of Albert Davis, a man killed in a 2010 high-speed car chase that started when Jenkins and a pair of officers suddenly approached two men who later said that they thought they were being robbed. The man crashed during the chase, killing Davis. Jenkins said Thursday police planted drugs in their car, a fact that he had previously covered up. His colleagues Marcus Taylor and Daniel Herschel on the Gun Trace Task Force were convicted in February on federal charges of racketeering, robbery, and overtime fraud. In 2115 New England, there are no borders, no states, and no regulations, yet never has a more peaceful and prosperous place existed. Faced with the prospect of waning power, Mr. Drake intends to replace the anarchy of New England with a government. Anarchy in New England by Joe Jarvis is available from Amazon.com and all major bookstores. Reuters reports a divided Mississippi Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that some local judges acted unconstitutionally by banning people with enhanced concealed carry licenses from taking guns into the courthouse. The court said judges of the 14th Chancery District, which includes six counties in east central Mississippi, exceeded their authority under the state constitution because only the legislature could regulate or forbid the carrying of concealed weapons. Justice Michael Randolph wrote for a five-justice Supreme Court majority, "The orders at issue usurped that power. No matter how well-intentioned, judges are without power to limit enhanced concealed carry licensees' rights to carry a firearm beyond courtrooms in the state of Mississippi. A 2011 law allowed people with enhanced concealed carry licenses to take firearms into Mississippi state courthouses, though judges could ban the weapons from the courtroom. Ricky Ward, a firearms instructor, had challenged the broader ban in the 14th Chancery District. He appealed after its judges noted that the district's courthouses were built many years ago and not designed to properly secure courtrooms. Two dissenting justices from Thursday's decision found the broader ban unconstitutional. Two other justices partially dissented, saying the ban appeared overbroad, but that a narrower version might pass muster. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.